AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
I'm Andrew McCrae, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, a farmer-focused podcast important to agriculture. It's brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Visit pivotbio.com to find a representative near you.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Davis Michelson is with me. We're going to talk more about that conversation, Davis, that we just had with Jordan at the end of the show, bring up some of those points again and put some emphasis on some of those issues. But right now, let's get into the conversation with Senator John Thune from South Dakota. Senator, welcome to AgriTalk. Thank you so much. It's good to talk to you again.
Great being with you guys. Thank you.
All right. You know what? Hey, you're at home, right? Up in South Dakota?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
All right. Going out and having meetings. What do people want to talk about?
Well, you know, there's a lot. People are paying attention to what's going on nationally right now. So there's a lot of interest in issues like immigration, what's happening at the border. There's a lot of interest in the discussion in Washington about, you know, doing away with the legislative filibuster and what that might mean, and the agenda the Democrats are trying to pass, the infrastructure bill, the tax increases, all those things right now are kind of top of mind for people. But, you know, in farm country, it's obviously the weather. And, you know, we've had some rain, some moisture in certain parts of South Dakota this week, so that's encouraging. But, and, you know, what commodity prices are going to do, and what about the trade deals, and are they going to be enforced? And so it's a little bit of all of the above. Livestock producers are concerned about, you know, consolidation among the processors, and you know, sort of worried about the issues of being able to market their products in a way that maximizes their ability to get rewarded for their work. Yeah. And so there's a lot of discussion around those issues in farm country, and as always, focus on the economy.
Yeah, let's the issue that is kind of like fireworks right now is the tax issues that you mentioned, Senator, and the estate tax, the step up in basis, the reduction in the exemptions on estate or capital gains. These are things that as I view it, and as I am being told by farmers across the country, these are things that are a real threat to the family farm.
Yeah, that's right. There's no question about it. And the tax agenda that the Democrats have put forward strikes at the very heart of a state like South Dakota or other farm states where agriculture, at least in our state, is the number one, you know, contributor to our economy here. And so when you talk about allowing the exclusion on the death tax to snap back to the pre-2017 level, I mean, you are talking about a huge impact on farmers and ranchers in this country, and very concerning. Same thing with, you know, getting rid of the stepped-up basis and capital gains. You know, the individual rates that are going to be increased on high-income earners, those apply, of course, to all pass-through businesses who pay at the individual rate. So your LLCs and partnerships and S-Corps are all affected by that. This is a very far-reaching, you know, tax increase agenda, which will affect lots of areas of our economy and should be very concerning.
Yeah. Immigration issues that the South Dakotans are talking with you about. You and another group of Republican lawmakers went down and took a look at what's going on down at the border. It's shocking what's happening down there, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And it's a humanitarian crisis. You see these young, you know, kids being held in these facilities and packed in like sardines. So you got a humanitarian crisis. You've got a public health crisis. There are people coming across with COVID. And this administration seems to have no clue at this point about how to deal with it because they were so intent on moving away from the previous administration's policies that they're not willing, I guess, to recognize that an open border creates an incentive for people to come, and they're coming by the thousands, and they have overwhelmed and swamped us. We just don't have the capacity to do this.
Right, right. There was a pause put on the CFAP payments that were approved before Christmas last year. What's the status there?
Well, we've been, we're told that that's coming, going to be distributed soon. We've been riding them on that. You know, that's something Congress appropriated and authorized. And so the next round should be coming out, the $20 per acre on for crop producers, and then also the assistance for livestock producers. It's I think it's been a godsend through this last year with the pandemic. We just want to make sure that the, you know, we worked really hard to get those dollars included in these pandemic relief bills. We want to make sure that USDA is following through and distributing them as intended. So I will hopefully we'll be able to get you an exact date and time, but we continue to hear that it's in the works and it's only a matter of time.
Okay. The WIP Plus payments, I think we're still awaiting the second half of 2019 crop WIP Plus payments, aren't we?
That is correct, yep.
What's the status there?
Well, tomorrow, April 9th, is the deadline for producers to sign up for WIP Plus for the Quality Loss Adjustment Program. And I would encourage producers who experience weather-related crop losses in 2019 to contact their local FSA office if they haven't done so already. They will not begin issuing payments until after the application period closes, which allows FSA to calculate the county averages and the total scope of the QLA payments that'll be issued. And they will be prorated on a national factor if the payments exceed the amount of funding available, and we won't know if more funding is going to be needed until after the application process closes. So anyway, I guess what I'm saying is folks need to get in and apply for that, and it's something that we'll continue to monitor closely, and if necessary, look for opportunities to, if we need to do more there, we will.
Very good, very good. What about on 2020 crops? Will there be a WIP Plus program there? Yeah, I'm thinking specifically about my state, Iowa, with the derecho.
Right, and you guys were impacted there directly, and we tried, I say we, Republicans in both the House and the Senate, tried to extend WIP Plus eligibility to include the 2020 crop year during consideration of this American Rescue Plan Act. But unfortunately, the House Democrats stripped an amendment that would have provided that assistance.
Yeah.
And in the Senate, your Senator Chuck Grassley offered a similar amendment when we were considering the bill in the Senate, but the Senate Democrats blocked its inclusion. So, but I guess what I would say is I think as Congress works on appropriations legislation later this year, there will continue to be an interest in extending WIP Plus, especially given the derecho last year in Iowa.
Yeah.
And the storm in Texas earlier this year. There'll be plenty of pressure, I think, to extend it to 20, and we'll be working on that, I assure you.
Very good, very good. The American Jobs Act, the infrastructure plan, it's carrying different names right now. What do you see that is good in that proposal, Senator?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously, if you're spending $2.5 trillion, there ought to be some good things in there, and there are a few, but only about 6% of that amount is really what we would, I think, most of us describe as infrastructure, that being roads and bridges, highways, maybe even broadband. But there's just so much spending on excess stuff that's totally unrelated to infrastructure, including, you know, healthcare, daycare, electric vehicles, schools, housing. I mean, you name it, they qualified everything as infrastructure, and it's really an excuse to spend a lot of money on a massive expansion of the government that has very little to do with infrastructure. Now, I think we need infrastructure. We need a farm-to-market economy. Historically, that's been a bipartisan issue. I've worked on several infrastructure bills in my time in Congress. Broadband is another thing that I think could fit into that category. High-speed internet services are important to agriculture. They're important to healthcare in rural areas, distance learning. But, you know, what they're talking about, as we mentioned earlier, is paying for this thing with the largest set of tax hikes that we've seen in a generation. And I think that's going to be really harmful given the fact that the economy is really starting to come back. You know, you could kill a lot of jobs and hold wages down at the worst possible time with a bunch of big tax hikes. So it's a as it's rolled out right now, very hard to envision, you know, getting very many Republicans to support it. But there are elements in there that if they wanted to work together with us, I think we could come up with a good bipartisan bill that truly was focused on infrastructure.
Is there a willingness to listen and to negotiate, and or is this just going to go down the path of reconciliation?
It seems like that's where they're headed, is reconciliation. We haven't seen any evidence yet of outreach. And I say that we're, you know, the Republican Party in the Senate, we're the opposition party, but it's a 50-50 Senate. I mean, it's evenly divided. The people in this country did not vote for radical change. I think they voted for moderation and balance and an expectation that the two sides would work together. But we've not seen any evidence of that. Senator McConnell, myself, other members of our leadership have not been consulted on any of these infrastructure issues, and everything we see and hear suggests the Democrats would use the, as you point out, the reconciliation legislative vehicle, which would enable them to pass it at 51 votes, and assuming, you know, they have the vice president and the chair, they could get it done that way. But that really is not a good outcome for anybody, because, you know, 2 years from now, if we get the majority back, a lot of this bad policy will try and, you know, will turn off. And you just get this constant back and forth where everything changes every couple of years, depending on who has the majority in the Congress. That's not a good way to govern. It's not a good way to legislate. But the Democrats seem very bent on moving a far-reaching, and I would say radical in many respects, the things they want to do on the Green New Deal, the things they want to do on federalizing our election system in this country, the D.C. statehood. You go right down the list, and it's a very, very radical liberal agenda.
Senator, I sure hope we can have you back on again and have get an update on what's going on in the future.
Love to be with you guys. Keep getting the message out there.
You know we will. Thank you, sir. We appreciate you so much. Safe travels. We'll talk with you again soon. That is Senator John Thune from South Dakota. Davis and I will be back to wrap up this morning's AgriTalk in just a moment.